the concept of bid'ah, unfortunately, has become a very important topic for a number of reasons. Inshallah, in the lecture today, I hope to make it clear exactly what is a bid'ah and what is the danger, or what are the dangers, I should say, of such bid'ah, and why we should do our best to remedy the situation. Let me begin first by saying that the way of Islam is one. There's only one true Islam. There's no such thing as different versions of Islam, different brands of Islam. Whatever you want to call those different brands, there's no such way. Actually, Islam is one. The true path is one way. While the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a hadith narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drew a straight line on the ground and he said, this is the path of Allah. And then he drew some lines to the left and to the right of it. And he said that these are errant paths. And on each one of these paths, there is the shaitan calling to it. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read the verse, وَإِنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُولَ فَتَفَرَّقُوا بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. That this, verily, this is my straight path, so follow it. And do not follow the other path that will take you away from the true path. And in fact, if we look in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the truth, for example, with the word an-nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the truth as being the light, or the way as being the light, always juxtaposes or contrasts the singular, an-nur, with the plural, dhulumat. Singular for the truth, for the right way, and plural for the ways that are deviant. Because the right way is one way, but the false ways are many. And in fact, in a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a well-known hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this ummah would break up into 73 sects. And he said that each one of those sects would be in the hellfire, except for one. And when he was asked, what is that one? He said, it is one that is following what I and my companions are following today. So this verse in the Quran and these hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam make it very clear that in fact, the way of Islam, there's only one real way of Islam, the way of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And any deviation from that is not another acceptable brand of Islam, but in fact, it is another errant path, which the scholars, the ulama, call the way of Ahlul Bid'ah, or the way of the people of innovation. Now, unfortunately, for many reasons, the concept of Bid'ah, what is a Bid'ah, why should we pose and so forth, is not always that clear to everyone. And there are some reasons for that. For example, sometimes you might hear this famous statement when you discuss some issue and you say, and you conclude this is bid'ah. And someone will say, oh, but it is a good bid'ah. It's a good innovation. And this statement confuses lots of people. Well, secondly, also some people get confused because there's lots of things that we do nowadays that weren't done during the time of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Lots of things have changed in this world. Does that mean that everything new now, everything that we do now that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't do during his lifetime is a bid'ah that we must avoid? So I think first, an important starting point is to define really what do we mean by bid'ah. And to define what is the concept, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what is the concept of bid'ah itself. And then inshallah we can move on to the dangers of bid'ah, And then inshallah, the remedy, we don't want to leave without at least some kind of remedy inshallah. Different ulama, different scholars have given different definitions for the concept of bid'ah. Some of these definitions are not really very good and others are much better. What I mean by that, others are much more consistent with the proofs from the Quran and Hadith itself. In general, if we want to define bid'ah or heresy or innovation, we can define it as any invented act, belief or path in the religion that is made to compete or resemble the Sharia, and it is followed for the same purpose that the Sharia is supposed to be followed. Well, from this definition, from the statements of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about al-bid'ah, about innovation, we can come up with some general concepts or some general ideas about bid'ah that explain this definition. The first aspect, and this is something very clear, although something that many people unfortunately dispute, the first aspect is that every bid'ah is dalala. Kullu bid'atin dalala. Every bid'ah is dalala. There's no such thing as a good bid'ah from the point of view of the Sharia. By the way, linguistically, bid'ah means something new. Something that wasn't done before. Something that didn't have a predecessor. But again, we're not talking about the linguistic meaning of the term. We're talking about from the Sharia point of view, what is defined as a bid'ah. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every bid'ah is dalala. And another hadith, he said, kullu dalalatin fi an-nar. That every dalala is in the hellfire. Well, dalala, and the concept of dal, being astray, being away from the straight path, if we go to the Quran, and we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word dalala or dal, it is not being used for someone who commits a sin. It is not being used for someone who is making mistakes with respect to the deen. But in fact, it is being used in the Quran for those people who have strayed from the straight path, who have divided the religion and so on. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kullu bid'atin dalala, or every bid'ah is a kind of dalala, or straying from the straight path, he's not just saying that every bid'ah is a sin, every bid'ah is wrong, and so on. He's saying something much greater than that. He's saying that every bid'ah is something that takes you away from the straight path. Every bid'ah is misguidance and erring and going away from the straight path. This, as I said, this term of dal or dalala is used in the Quran. Dalin, for example, as we read in Surah Al-Fatiha, is not even used for sinners, but it is used for people who have strayed from the straight path. People who are going astray, away from the true path. So when the Prophet ﷺ said that every bid'ah is dalala, and this is not a minor thing, he's not just saying it's wrong, he's not just saying it's sin, but in fact he's saying that it is something that takes you away from the straight path. Secondly, the concept of bid'ah, second aspect of the concept of bid'ah in the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that the bid'ah is something that is performed as a way of pleasing or getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, when someone follows a bid'ah, when someone follows something invented and created in the deen, he's claiming that this thing is bringing you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's claiming that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. And this is one of the big differences between following a bid'ah and committing sins. And this is why, as Ahmad ibn Hanbal once said, he said the greatest sinner or the fasiq from Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah is better than the most pious person from Ahl al-Bid'ah. Because at least the sinner, the one who commits sins, he knows that what he's doing is wrong. He's not saying that that thing is halal, it should be done and it's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knows it's wrong. But the one who's committing bid'ah is going against actually what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the Quran says, and is claiming that that thing that he is doing is a way of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the greatest, one of the greatest lies that you could commit. To say that some act is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have no proof whatsoever from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So part of the concept of bid'ah is that the one who's doing it, he claims that it is something approved by the religion, something beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and something that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the dividing points between what is a bid'ah and what isn't a bid'ah. Well, thirdly, is that bid'ah can be both in actions as well as in avoiding some things. That probably needs some further elaboration. In other words, that some people might create some act and say that if you do this act, you will get such and such reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on. That is a bid'ah in creating an act. But in the same way, if someone avoids something and claims that by avoiding that thing, he is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is also bid'ah if he has no proof for it in the Quran and Sunnah. And if, for example, during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, When the three people who said, the one who said that he would pray every night, all the night, the other one who said he would fast every day, and the other one who said he would not marry. Perhaps the closest, the clearest one is the one who does not marry. Marriage is something legal in the Sharia. Something approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone like what we see in Christianity, the monks and the priests, and unfortunately we find it among some Sufi groups in Islam, someone claims that by not marrying, he's pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is bid'ah. So bid'ah can be in an action, or it could be in intentionally avoiding something. For example, nowadays in the United States we have lots of vegetarians who said, oh, we shouldn't kill anything, we shouldn't kill any live creature, so therefore we shouldn't eat meat. And unfortunately, American Muslims come to Islam with everything they had before, and this idea might still be in their mind that is a living soul that Allah created and so forth. And they might still think, well, maybe it's best if you don't eat it. No. If you say that by not eating it and avoiding meat, for example, you are pleasing Allah, or you're doing a good thing, this is bid'ah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the eating of meat and so on. So it could be in an action or it could be in what you're avoiding on purpose. Fourthly, is it fourth? Wait up, brother. I know. Fourth, anything related to the Sharia, in other words, the Sharia comprises aqidah, beliefs, acts of worship, acts of mu'amalat or business dealings, anything in the Sharia could have a bid'ah created and related to it. In other words, bid'ah is not just in aqidah and beliefs, it is not just in worship, but also could be in business dealings. If someone says, for example, that any time Muslims contract a deal, a business deal, if they kiss each other's hands, I'm bringing some ridiculous examples, but suppose someone would say that it is good if you kiss each other's hand after a business dealing, Allah will bless that business dealing. So the people do it on the basis that this is something pleasing to Allah, this is bid'ah. It's not related to aqidah as such necessarily, it's not related to acts of worship, but it is still bid'ah. So anything related to the Sharia, whether it is aqidah, beliefs, or whether it is acts of worship, or whether it is mu'amalat, yani the business dealings, anything related to the Sharia, someone could create bid'ah related to it also. And finally, the last aspect of the concept of bid'ah, or mafhum bid'ah in the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that the bid'ah is something that has no source specifically for it in the sources. And the sources are the Quran, wa Sunnah, wal Ijma' or consensus, and also the actions of the Sahaba. This is the concept, or these are some of the aspects of bid'ah, or some of the understanding of bid'ah with respect to the Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah based on the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And based on the Quran itself. Well, if we really want to think about what bid'ah is exactly, and to come up with something new in the religion, and to claim that that thing is something good, we should do it, and it's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you think of bid'ah in this sense, you'll see really how dangerous it is, how wrong it is, and how much we should oppose it, and how much we should hate it. Because the one who creates a bid'ah, and the one who is following a bid'ah, he is saying that there is some shortcoming in the deen. There's some way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's some way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not found in the Quran or the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's actually what the people of bid'ah are saying. That they have found a way to believe or to act or to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that is better than the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. That is really what they're saying. In essence, that is what bid'ah is all about. They're claiming that there's something missing from the deen, so they add something to it, or the deen has too much, so they take something away. This is really what bid'ah is all about. That there's something missing from the deen. The deen, as the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practiced it, as found in his sunnah, as found in the Quran, is not sufficient for them. They want something more, they want something better. And so they turn to their bid'ah, or they create some bid'ah. Well, thought about in that way, and understood in that way, we should realize then, that it is, in essence, an insult to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say that he could not reveal his religion perfectly, or that he could not teach the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the best way to teach us, and that we have to look for some better way than what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. It is also a denial of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. On this day I have perfected and completed your religion for you. It is also a denial of what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. He said that there's nothing that takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except I have ordered you to do it. And there's nothing that takes you further away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that I have prohibited you from doing it. But these people who make these creations, who invent these things, these bid'ah, throughout the history, whether they are, as I said, in beliefs or actions or whatever, they are claiming, wa na'udhu billah, they are claiming that somehow they have some way and some action that it is that is better than what is found in the Quran and what is found in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it should be part of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our love for His Messenger and our love for His deen that we hate any kind of innovation. That we hate the idea that anyone will come and say, I have a way of life that is more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and better than the way of life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone doesn't hate that, and doesn't hate even the idea of such people claiming such thing, then their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His deen and His Prophet is not correct. It's part of our love, an aspect of our love for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we defend His sunnah. We defend His sunnah as being the best way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of life that all of us must follow if we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in essence, that is what bid'ah is all about. Some people wonder how come some Muslims, they get so upset with the idea of bid'ah. That they talk about bid'ah a lot and they talk about how we have to stop bid'ah. It is because they understand, if you want to know the truth, why someone gets so upset about bid'ah, I will tell you it's because they understand the religion and they understand what bid'ah is actually saying. That in fact, the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, the way of life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not sufficient, is not complete. As I said, it is an insult to Allah and to His Messenger. But if the dangers of bid'ah, as Sheikh Mahmoud Shaltut wrote in his book on bid'ah, if the dangers of bid'ah were restricted simply to the person who follows an innovation, then maybe we could take it easy a little bit there. Maybe we could not get as upset or as worried about it as we do. But in fact, the dangers of bid'ah and the harms and the evil effect of bid'ah spreads from that person, not just that person, but also the people he is around, the people who follow him, the ummah as a whole, and also the deen as a whole. All of these are affected by the people of bid'ah because of their heresy and because of their innovations. One of the greatest evil effects of bid'ah and of Ahlul Bid'ah, as Imam Shawqabi discusses in detail throughout his work, Al-I'tisam, which is one of the most important books you can read if you want to understand the concept of bid'ah. One of the greatest harmful effects is that they cause disunity in the ummah. It is first and foremost because of Ahl al-Bid'ah that there's disunity and division and fractionalization among this ummah. And this is clear, and we can see it throughout the history, that all of the Sahaba, they were following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they all loved each other, and they all cared for and helped each other, even when they had a difference of ijtihad. After the death of Uthman and so on, even when they had a difference of ijtihad, and the difference of ijtihad was to them so important that it threatened, they considered that it threatened the ummah, the life of the ummah, and they were willing to fight one another for the sake of Islam. Even when that occurred, at the same time, they still had the complete love and mercy that believers are supposed to have for one another. You can find in the books of history that they used to fight one another, the supporters of Ali and the supporters of Muawiyah, and at the same time they used to take hadith from one another. Some of them used to fight during the day and pray together at night. They used to marry their daughters, for example, to one another. And it was a difference of ijtihad. But when it comes to Ahl al-Bid'ah, the situation is completely different. The situation when it comes to Ahl al-Bid'ah is completely different. The people are following the Sunnah, and they invent something new, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will always be a group of his ummah following the truth, and these people will always disagree and not accept the way of Ahl al-Bid'ah. So the people were following one way, they were united, they had the love and mercy for one another, and the ummah began to split. And it split because of bid'ah. People brought new things into the religion, whether it was beliefs or actions or whatever, and those who believed in the truth and wanted to support the truth were not willing to accept what they did, so therefore they had to oppose them. And the same thing is true today. When we see people going clearly against the Quran and Sunnah in the name of bid'ah and so on, it is our duty to oppose them. And one of the strangest statements you can find is that the Muslim Ummah should forget about its differences and come together for the sake of unity and to fight the kuffar. That sounds nice in theory. But in fact, Muslims, the true Muslims, the people who are really following the Quran and Sunnah, their only goal is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stand up for the truth. And the only way they can be united with anyone is if that person also accepts the truth and follows the way of the Quran and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if that person refuses to follow the way of the truth, how do you expect them to have unity? And unity because we call each other Muslims, but you don't want to follow the Quran and Sunnah? I mean, this is impossible. And this is one of the greatest, as I said, one of the greatest evil effects of Ahl al-Bid'ah, is that they are, in essence, the cause for the division and the breaking up of this ummah. And in fact, Imam al-Shawtabi, he shows that all of those verses in the Quran that discuss any of those people in the previous days who broke up their ummah, into different sects, he said these are all, in fact, the same as Ahl al-Bid'ah. Secondly, bid'ah is the cause of fitna for this ummah, a cause of trials and tests for this ummah, or a cause of severe punishment. Because by definition, the people of bid'ah, they are refusing to follow the command, the order, and the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينِ يَخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبُهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمًا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse in the Quran, and I believe Sheikh Ali al-Hasan, yesterday he read this verse. The verse is saying that for those people who are differing from the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there will come to them either a fitna, and a test or trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a severe punishment. One time Imam Malik, he was asked about someone who puts on the ihram. As you know, when you go to Hajj, there are certain places, depending on where you come from, that you're supposed to put on the ihram. So this person was leaving from Medina, and he asked Imam Malik, he said, what's the harm if I put on the ihram from the Prophet's mosque instead of from the appointed place? And Imam Malik, he said, that I fear for that person that some fitna will come to him. I said, why? I'm just adding a little bit to the... to the boundaries of the ihram. Instead of putting it on there, I'm putting it on a little bit early. But by doing so, you are going against the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Imam Malik read this verse, and that by going against the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, either you will be afflicted by fitna. I didn't ask for anything to. Thirdly, also, bid'ah is a source of fasad, a source of evil in the ummah. If we look at the sharia, the laws of the Quran and sunnah, it is meant for the well-being, the happiness of mankind, both in this dunya and in the hereafter. And any time we stray from the true teachings, and we accept any laws other than the laws of the way of the Quran and Sunnah, then we are missing that maslaha or that well-being, and instead we are replacing it with fasad. So the people of Ahlul Bid'ah, by the introducing new ways and so on, they are actually changing the way of life that will bring them maslaha or the most happiness in this life and the hereafter for a way that will not bring them that maslaha in this world nor in the hereafter. Well, fourthly also, al-bid'ah causes the sunnah to die. And in essence, whenever people create bid'ah, usually that bid'ah is replacing some sunnah. Usually that bid'ah is replacing some sunnah, or adding to some sunnah, and so on, to the point that the sunnah is not practiced correctly. Well, Ibn Abbas, he said, that when bid'ah is created, then the sunnah dies. And this continues until the sunnah, the bid'ah is living, and the sunnah is dead. And you can see it, if you look at some of the groups of Ahlul Bid'ah, you'll find nothing from the sunnah among them. Well, Hassan ibn Atiyah, one of the tabi'een, he said, when the people accept the bid'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the sunnah from them and doesn't return it to them until the day of judgment. So in fact, one of the evil effects of the bid'ah is that by allowing bid'ah to live or by introducing innovations and heresies, we are actually causing the sunnah to die. And at the same time, and related to that, is it causes hatred for the sunnah. And if people are following a way of life and they're saying this is the way we have to follow, and then when people come with the real sunnah from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, no, let's not do this, let's do this, they'll say, no, we don't want to do that way. We don't like that way. And because they've convinced themselves that this way is better, and that other way perhaps is the way of the foolish, or it is the way of those people who are not Ahlillah or Ahlul Khos, if you want to use some of their some of their terms. And you can see it many times. You can see, for example, if you're living in a city where you have a mosque, and alhamdulillah, in that mosque, the sunnah is being performed, you'll find the Ahlul Bidah, they hate to come to that mosque. They will not come to that mosque, in general. If they can avoid it, by any means, they'll avoid it. And this is just because as Bidah grows in the heart, it makes a hatred for the sunnah. And then related to that, of course, it makes it dangerous and hard for people to follow the sunnah. When people then, after bid'ah is spread and people start to...